morning. We left off last week just trying to understand the momentous aspect of this halacha of nechlel inish lemeh mitzvah v'mamoneh, that a person is happy with people using his items for mitzvahs. That was the Rishonim's application of it. That was the source for the halacha that we practice today, that you can theoretically walk to shul, bar pir fillin, bar a lulav, even sometimes, depending on what it is, of lachem, bar a talis perhaps. Something where you can't borrow, there's a Malcolm Hefset, but by and large, the din is that Nichol Lish Nemeh Mitzvah Monik. So we left off with a question that was posed by the Ktos as to how does that fit into the general rules of using items that belong to somebody else without their permission. So there is a sugya that appears in the second parak of a Sechas Mamatzia, a very famous sugya about Yu Shalomi Das. The Gemara tells us that if I lose something, but I don't even know that I lost it, and somebody finds it, and they can assess the situation that they know for a fact that if I would have known that I lost it, so for sure I would have been messiahish from it. Well, I said, I don't know that I lost it. So although Rav accepted that as being a yush l'mafreya, retroactively that could serve as yush, when the person finds out that he lost it, so then the yush takes effect retroactively, we pass like a bay yush l'midas l'avi yush. So it's based on that Gemara that Taisus explained to us about Metzia, that has nothing to do with yush, nothing to do with aved, nothing to do with Hashemus aved. That's a din called Tarakula, called the chusul l'mafreya. Can we assess retroactively that a person was in a certain mind state, a certain person was happy, was satisfied with something? Does that concept work like Mafreya? So we paskin that no. So therefore, Taisa says, if I walk into your house and I want to take a cup of juice from your fridge, and I didn't ask you before, even though I'm pretty sure that if and when you find out, you'll be more than happy. That's very nice, but that's gezeila, because the chutz l'afreya doesn't work. So that's tantamount in halacha, taking something without your permission, which that's what we call gezeila. So that's the case, as it tells. Nichle le mitzvah, nechle le inish le mitzvah, from today till tomorrow, what's that going to help? So good, Zolzayin, it's nichle. That's very nice. It's also nichle for me to let you take my orange juice. But the mindset doesn't work. So what are the mechanics of Didi Mamanus, the engine that's driving this hat there, of walking to shul, taking somebody's item, that the Rishonim extended it based on Agamara? The whole source of that din is Agamara himself and Abdal. That is the Mokum and Shas for Nichol Inish, the only place. Nichol Inish to Mitzvah Monet. How in the world can we apply that principle, Lema Freya? What happens to the regular rules of Yish Lamidas Lava Yish? That's the question that the Ktos poses. So comes to Ktos and says that he thinks that it revolves around a Gemara in Masechas Bav Metzia. Actually, it's two parts of the Gemara B'Metzia. The ninth Gemara B'Metzia was the original source of Yish L'Midas Lav Yush, but now it's Mar Machlok number 10, which is the Gemara building upon that Machlokes. So Gemara raises the following question. Gemara the 10th Gemara B'Metzia. Toshma. Keitzar Amru Hatorim Shlomidas Trumas L'Truma. How do you have a situation where a person can be mafresh truma shalomi das? How in the world is there ever a scenario where I can be mafresh truma on behalf of somebody else without receiving their permission? If a person goes into somebody else's field, and he goes ahead and he takes off truma on behalf of somebody else without asking them. So it sounds like it's a no-brainer. It sounds like for sure it's no good. So the price is not so fast. If the owner of the field would be concerned with that, would not be happy with that, would accuse the person of being a gazlan, then the game is over. Ain't shumas truma. But if the owner is not really concerned with it, the owner is okay with it, so then the truma would be good. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh. How am I going to know? I go ahead and I'm offering truma. The owner's not around. The owner's around and gives me permission, and of course it's okay. So the owner's not around. How am I going to, what criteria am I going to use to judge whether the owner would be satisfied or not? I mean, I know your name, Chajr Shem Gazim Lav. So Gemara gives the following interesting suggestion. If after I go ahead and I do this, and again, I went to your field without your permission, you're nowhere around, I went ahead and I separated truma, and then an hour later the balabas comes back, the owner of the field comes back, and he says to me, Kolach Etzel Yafas. He says, go take some good stuff. What does that mean? So Ibn Imtzel Yafas behen Shumas HaChuma. Ibn Lav in Shumas HaChuma. So if there really are better fruit there. There really is good stuff there. So then the Balabas is saying, oh, thank you so much for being Mafish Truma, and in the future you can even take better stuff, that's fine. The Balabas turns out retroactively is really happy with what happened. So then the Gemara Milsa said that the Truma was good. But in Lav, there is no better stuff there. Then the Balabas, the Balasad, is clearly being cynical and saying, oh, and why don't you take the better stuff, you goslin, you good for nothing, you Mafish Truma, my stuff. Go take the better stuff, there's nothing around better. Obviously he doesn't need to give his consent. So here the Gemara is giving almost like a psychological analysis, trying to figure out what did the person mean, which we can't read his mind. We're trying to figure out what did he mean when he said take better stuff. So we assess that if it's reasonable to assume that he meant he's very happy with what happened, and even Kol HaKavod, even give better next time, so then great, so then the Truma was good. And if not, so then the Truma is no good. So we ask the Gemara, wait a second. We ask the Gemara, let's skip down to the next line, to the end of the line. Chinim to Yavas ben Truma, so Truma Mai? Wait a second. Even if we can do all the psychological evaluations from today till tomorrow and we'll figure out, oh, he's really happy, but at the time that the Truma was separated, he didn't know about it. He hadn't given his permission yet. So he wasn't technically happy yet. Elohat, you want to go to Mafreya? You want to say that Nichusa le Mafreya? You want to say that, well, since when he finds out later he's clearly happy, so then we can judge that he's probably okay beforehand also. That's very nice if you accept Yish Lomidah as being Yish. But according to Abaye, this poses the challenge. According to Abaye, how could the Braisa say that simply assessing what his mindset would have been, could have been, should have been, would have been, but Lamaisa wasn't? So how in the world is that going to work with Mafreya? So Gemara says, no, the answer is as follows. Tirguma Rava Libi Dabai. Rava comes to the rescue. Rava doesn't have to come to the rescue. Rava was the one who has the upper hand in this. Rava is an Isha Emes. He wants to save his colleagues, says to save his Chav Rabaye. So he says, no, let me give you an answer according to Abaye. Shavi Shaliach. It must be that we misunderstood the case. We thought that Reuben is just patsiri into Shimon's field, totally, completely unasked for. No, that's not at all what happened. That actually Reuben was appointed as a Shaliach to Mafresh Trumas Maizus. If not for the fact that Reuben was appointed as a Shaliach, the game is over. It's not Shayach. That would be a Yish Lomidas problem. So wait a second. If Reuben was actually appointed as a Shaliach, so then it should always be good. So why are we trying to figure out what the person wanted? So let's skip down a little bit in the Gemara. Let's skip down to three lines at the bottom. I'm a Zilthro. Yes, Reuben was appointed as a Shaliach, but he was appointed to be Mafresh Truma. He wasn't told from where to be Mafresh. He wasn't told which crops to use, which produce to use. So I'm a Zilthro, I'm a Trumihani. He was never told which fruit to pick. Usually about the boss's kavana is people are pretty middle of the road kind of guys. Most of us, we don't want to give too much, and the other we don't want to be too cheap. So we try to give approximately somewhere in the middle. So we try to give the mediocre quality stuff. And then this Shaliach went out as a big tzaddik. He went out with mafresh from the best fruit without being told explicitly to do that. Now, Balabais comes, and now we're trying to figure out the fact that he was mafresh from the Yafos, was that included in the original Shlichos or not? So that's a little tricky. So for that, we could size up what was the Das of Balabas. So of course there was a Minu Shlichos to begin with. Without a Minu Shlichos to begin with, we can't even get it to the first base. Of course I can't be mafresh Truma on your behalf without a formal Minu Shlichos. The fact that you find out later and the Mafreya would have been happy with me being a Shaliach, that's very nice, but that's Yush Lomidas, love a Yush. So of course there was a Minu Shalichos. So the whole purpose of the Braisa is not to determine why you ever appointed as a Shaliach. The point of the Braisa is to determine, under these unique circumstances, can this Afrosh that you did be included in the original Minu Shalichos. So this doesn't impact on the Machlok Zabayin Rabbah. We can be the Sar belief. That's the case that obviously goes without saying that there must have been a Minu Shalichos. So Ad Kan Divrei HaGemara. So now, we open up a Rambam in the 13th of the Marim HaKamos. Skip a little bit. The Rambam Minuchos Trumas, Perek Dalet Halach HaGimel. Hatayim Shalom B'Shus, Hashiyar L'Sach Sar HaChavev, Liki Perish Lom B'Shus, Kedesh Yichem V'Taram, In Bo Bala Bayis, V'yamalo, Kalachetza Yafas, the Rambam gives you the whole story, Im Hayisham Yafas, everything's Trumas to Truma, Sharina Machbid, Im Hayisham Eh, the Rambam gives you the whole nine yards, quoting verbatim, everything for the Gemara Masech Dvar Betziah, except for one small, tiny piece of information. The Rambam does not mention anywhere any shape or form, that the person who's doing the afrasha is a shaliach. We just read a term shlobishus. The Rambam says hachma iskina shikot shoso shaliach. Something's very, very fishy here. The Rambam left out the most key element of the Gemara. The Gemara says that it has to be with the shalichos. If not for shalichos, then you're in a huge problem. You're going to hit a brick wall because it's yir shlomidas. Now, obviously the Rambam paskins like a bayi. Everybody paskins like a bayi. The Gemara paskins like a bayi. It's one of the alchagams. So we paskin like a bayi. It is obvious that there must be a mina shalichos. Otherwise, the entire sugya unravels. And the Rambam left out that most critical piece of information. So that's a very, very difficult problem with the Rambam. So it's a difficult problem on two fronts. It's a difficult problem, what we call textually a difficult problem, and it's a difficult problem conceptually. It's a difficult problem textually because the Gemara says it, and the Rambam ignored it. It's a difficult problem conceptually because even if the Gemara wouldn't have said it, we should be able to figure it out on our own. Means, of course it's true. It's a problem because the Tanakh doesn't make any sense. It means, how in the world could conceptually such a fashion take place? What if the Gemara did or did not say it? So the reason why it's important to highlight that it's very, very often you have a problem in a Rishon, both a textual problem and a conceptual problem, is that you have to solve both problems, sometimes with two different strategies. So the strategy of dealing with the textual problem is usually a very, very simple one, is to show you that the Gemara is one big, big picture. Talmud Ba'avi is a humongous collection of different Mamar Chazal. And every once in a while, there are machloks between different sugyas. The same way there are machloks in a sugya itself. Abai says this, Rabbi says this, you know this? Oh, it's a kasha. How can Abai say this? Because Rabbi said that. It's a silly kasha. So sometimes you can have machloks within different sugyas in Shas. And even though it's true that the way the Gemara is presenting itself in Bava Metzia is that you must have shlichos, one could argue, maybe, tucked away in between the cracks somewhere, there's another sugya that seems to disagree with the sugya. Now, it's going to be hard to find. You have to be very, very creative sometimes and find, where is this other sugya? You're not going to find a black and white other Gemara. You're going to have to find other sugyas, other Gemaras, that seem to be assuming not like this Tirgum HaRava Levi Devai, that which HaRava said in our sugya, Hakamai Sgeet Shlichos. Maybe there's another sugya out there that has a different take on this sugya, and maybe there's another gemara that all of a sudden contradicts and argues with this gemara. So that's the easier of the two. So I mean, easier if you're proficient in Kol Tarakula and you can just press a button and see every single gemara in front of you. So it's easier to find that gemara. But the more difficult part is conceptually. Even if you're going to discover such a gemara, how could such a gemara say such a thing? It doesn't make any sense. Its bottom line is, the Gemara in Bava Metzia was very, very compelling. The Gemara in Bava Metzia was not such a chiddush. The Gemara in Bava Metzia made perfect sense. Isn't it a problem of Lamafreya? And Yichus Lamafreya Lo Amidah, Yish Lo Midas Lo Aviyush. So we have two challenges in front of us. We have to find that missing Gemara, if it exists, and then we have to explain what the rationale of that missing Gemara would be. Why is it that missing Gemara, that phantom statement of Amorim somewhere that argues with our sugya, why does it argue? Conceptually, how does it argue? How would those Amorim, if they exist, how would they explain away why is the Hafrash HaShtubu without a Shaliach somehow better than a Yish Lomidas?
Could you say that Yayush and Nichalai are completely different? Could you say that Nichalai is an ongoing existing status? Yayush, something happened. I mean, there was no Yayush before. Something had to have happened for me to pick up that Aveda without that. So then you can't say that Levafreya. I'm not
explaining myself. No, that's what you're saying. I mean, the problem is that the Gemara in Bava Metzia links the Machlokes Abai and Rava to many, many other areas of Allah. You know, if I was just learning the sugya of Bava Metzia almost in a vacuum, Machlokes Abai and Rava about Hashem is Aveda Yish, I would have said, okay, this is a seventh grade topic, this is a Bava Metzia topic, you know, this is a very, very limited din in Mamadis kind of halacha. The Gemara compares this to Heksher, Tumas Eichlin, the Gemara compares this to our case of Afreshes Truma. The Gemara takes this and runs with it all over the place. And almost seems to, like take it out of that limited scope that you're putting in. So from the simple reading of the Gemara, it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like Yishlam Midas, Chazal if Chazal really thought that was true, they could have drawn that distinction across the board. So maybe the simple reading of the Gemara Metzias is not like what you're saying. Maybe that's the beer in that phantom Gemara that may disagree. But we have to first find the phantom Gemara. So let's see if we can find that missing link of this picture. So one perhaps, approach to the sugya may be found based on the Gemara in Kedushin of Nun Beis and Mebeis. So the 11th of the Marmakamos. Ha'u sarsia de kaddish bepruma de shichra. 11th of the Marmakamos is Kedushin of Nun Beis and Mebeis. Ha'u sarsia de kaddish bepruma de shichra. There was a person who went ahead and was mekadesh in Isha with Pruma de Shichra. Something to do with beer. I'm not proficient enough in the beer industry to tell you exactly what it was, but something involved in the making of the beer. And it wasn't his beer. He wasn't really supposed to be doing that. Also Mari de Shichra Ashkechei. The owner of the beer saw what happened. That here the person was standing under the chuppah and he just presented this cup of beer or whatever pot was making the beer to his kala without having permission of the owner. And now the owner of the beer walks in, and again, the starting point of the sugya is obviously when you're Mekadosh and Isha, it's a Kinyan Kesef. Kinyan Kesef presupposes that you're Kesef. So you can't take somebody else's Kesef to make Kinyan Kedushin. One of the questions they ask you under the chuppah is this ring belong to you? I can't steal a ring if you're Mekadosh and Isha with him. So here the person presumably stole the beer. So it sounds like the game's over. The Kedushin is not chal. So not so simple. So Omalei, so the owner of the beer walks in, and he says to the chassan, "Amayla tasted behay harifa. Why'd you take the shvacha beer? You should have given him the better beer." Again, I'm not going to display my ignorance in the beer industry by telling you, different dargas, which beer is a high quality beer. But I imagine that there are like everything else in life. There's high quality and low quality. So why were you mekadesh? I don't know. If I say names of beers, I'm going to indicate, I'm back in the 1970s when I was a New York Mets fan, so the only beers I knew were the ones that sponsored the commercials on the TV, Miller's Beer. That's the extent of my knowledge of the beer industry. So the Balabaya says to the Balabir, the Chassid, why'd you take the low level? You should have taken the five-star quality beer. So also the coming to Rabbah. So now the Shaila came to Rabbah. So Rabbah had to decide, is this Kedushin Chalala? So Omar, So Rava said that svara of kolachet oyafas, that for the fact that the Balabayas later on says something that seems to indicate that he's okay with what happened, the whole idea only makes sense when it comes to Afrasha's truma. And the Gemara references our Gemara Bavitsiya Dachaveis. And if you go back to the last line of the 11th Ramah goes, Lach Meshum Kisufa Diyavim Kudeshes. Over there by Truma, so then if the person says, Kalachet Yafos, and we could assess psychologically that he really means it, because there really are Yafos there, so then we could size up that he most probably really did want to be Mafresh to Yafos, and then the Truma is going to be good. Whereas in the case of the Kedushin, it's not so simple, that's what he meant. It could be the Kedushin, the owner, everyone could just mute, and someone maybe is not muted, just there's a lot of background noise. So if in the case of the Kedushin, the Baal HaBir walks into the chuppah and he sees the guy who's just Mekadosh and Isha with the stolen goods, so everyone's dancing Mazel Tov. And if the Baal HaBir really wants to say what he really wants, like he'd really like to throw everybody out of this place, he says, Gazlan, you stole my beer. He's very embarrassed to do so. So he says, oh, Mazel Tov, you should have used better ones. In other words, under the context, his quote-unquote approval, his nod, his consent, it's not really consent. He's just too embarrassed to say otherwise. But in his heart of hearts, the owner of the beer is not very happy with what just happened. And therefore, the condition would not be chal. So Rava is basically telling us that these two sugyas are identical. The sugyas, at least conceptually, in the world of pure lamdas, there's really no difference between the fellow who's mafresh truma without permission to do so, and kalachetz yofel saves the day. And the same is true when it comes to Kedushin. The only reason why the two sugyas part ways is a pure technical, psychological difference. This has nothing to do with halacha. It has to do with simply that we're trying to, in order for the either the truma or the Kedushin to be chal, we must psychologically assess that the owner really, truly is happy. By truma, we have the key to do that. By Kedushin, we do not have the vehicle to do that because you can't really get a straight read on the guy. We don't really know what he wants and doesn't want because he's too embarrassed to say otherwise.
Why does it matter what he really wants? Like, a lot of times we spend money or we do something and we don't really want to do it, but like, you know, if someone asks you, can I have $10 and they call you 5 times a day for a week, you'll just give it to them. You don't want to do it, but you're still giving it.
Right, right. But there, I did give it to them. Lamaisa, I gave it to them ritzoni. Over here, we're trying to assess retroactively what my das was, what my rutzen was.
But does it go by the time of the kedushin, or
yeah,
what it took the kedushin?
Yeah, yeah. No, it has to be at the time, and he was mekadesh the isha, that we have to be able to say with a straight face that the owner was happy with that. So the only way to do that is to have a chuzmah. I think what you're really asking almost is like, why don't we say dvarim shebalei v'enim dvarim? Why don't we say that, like your example is correct, that we only take into account what the person actually does. We don't take into account what the person would have thought. So you could argue that you could argue one of two things. Either you can argue that this would be like dvarim shebalei v'enim kaladam, that this is something which is even more clear that meets the eye. Or in order to say nichusa l'mefreya, it has to be much more than that. To be able to say something back retroactively, it's not enough just to say that Klapi Chutz is happy with it. You have to really, really be sure. So it is an interesting point here.
If you walk in right before Kedushin.
Yeah, if you walk in right before the Kedushin.
And then someone says to him, oh, that guy took your beer and he's about to do Kedushin. Yeah. And then you ask him right then, a second before he does it, he's like... And it's the same reason. He doesn't want to mess up the whole wedding. He's like, oh, yeah, it's fine.
Right. So that will be the difference. Okay. So that will be the difference in the two answers that I gave to you. That'll chop the nafkamina between my two dukhim. So I just told the two dukhim off the spot. So now you just identified the nafkamina between the two, right? I'm not sure. I don't know. So back to the condition story. So it sounds from Rava's whole deliberation that fundamentally, Ikaron, the two sigas are identical, except they part slight ways psychologically assessing. But in terms of pure halacha, they're the same. So wait a second. They're the same, there's a huge difference. There's a key element missing in the case of Kedushin. There was no shlichus. Remember the Gemara back in Rav Metzia said that the whole case of Kol HaChetzei Yafos, the whole case of being mafish true for somebody else, couldn't even get off the ground unless there was a formal mina shlichus. Where was the shlichus here? Who was the shlich of who? Everything's missing. The whole picture is different. So we're not the first ones to be bothered with this. Tosfos was bothered with this already. So Tosfos on the 12th of the Rambam Kamos. So Tosfos says, "Hasam mukil deshavi shliach." So Tosfos says, "Oh, by the way, any and every time you invoke this sugya of Kol HaChetzei Yafos, of course he was a shliach. If you tell me he became my kamash l'bishusa, then why is this called shlo b'shus? Yishlova da'acha mashetar min a yafish lo b'shusa. If he came to chlom agavi parzuma, deshavi shliach. The ilav hachim I might say." Says Tosfos, "Guess what? There's a piece of information missing from the sugya that you must insert. There was a mina shlichus. If there wasn't a mina shlichus, then the game's over. And there's nothing to talk about. Of course there's no kedushin here. The same way, of course, there's no truma." So Tosfos just made a shlich. Who was the shlich of who exactly? I got the wrong chosin over here. Who is the shlich of who? What's the case? Tosfos said that the case of Kedushin has to be parallel to the case of Truma. The only point of demarcation can be the psychological assessment of whether the guy's embarrassed or not. But otherwise, they're identical. So how would you create an identical case? We have the wrong guy as the chosin. The chosin is not the guy who stole the beer. The chosin is the owner of the beer. The owner of the beer told Reuven, "Listen, I'm getting married tomorrow, can't find the ring. Use some of my beer. So you be the shaliach and use some of my beer to be Kaddish Yisha." So what does he do? He goes ahead and he uses the most expensive, highest quality of beer. Now we're trying to assess, wait a second, is that what he meant? Was that included in the mina shlichos? So the Gemara says, "Ooh, what a perfect parallel! Just as by a freshest trumas and raisers, we could size up what the person's kavana was, and we could say with a straight face, yes, he did mean to take the highest quality. The Baal Hasada, the owner of the field, was happy with the taking of the best quality fruit. So Hordinami, the owner of the beer, was very happy with the job that the shalech l'kedushin did." And then Rava says, no, not at all, not so fast. In the case of the Truma, there's no issue of embarrassment over here. Can you imagine? Imagine the chassan is the owner of the beer. There are 500 people present for the wedding, except him. He wasn't there. He's in the back making more beer in the kitchen. He walks out after the chuppah. Everyone's screaming mazel tov. And he says, "Oh, wait a second. I don't think you should have used such nice quality stuff. That wasn't such a good idea." He would be humiliated to say such a thing. So he gives the shliach a pat on the back. "What a great job. Do it even better next time around." So comes Rav and says, that does not mean that he agrees. That means that he's humiliated to say otherwise, but there was no clear kadas, and therefore the shaliach did not have the authority to use the highest quality beer. If the shaliach would have been told to use the highest quality beer, that would have been a shalichus. But he was given a very, very vague directions, very vague instructions of use beer, and he went ahead and used the five-star beer when he could have gotten away with the two-star beer. So that was using somebody else's money without permission. So it's Kiddush Begezel, in effect. That's how the sugya sizes up. But Taisa said that obviously, without a question, there was a mini shlichus here. And by making it into a mini shlichus, Taisa had to change the whole case. Taisa has a different chosin. Taisa has different people getting married here. Taisa has a whole different picture of the whole story. But we understand, we appreciate where Taisa is coming from. Because the Balei Taisa looked at the entire, all of Shas in one picture. And if the Gemara in Bamitziach Abeis puts in the element of Shlichus, because otherwise the sugya falls apart, so you have to borrow that Gemara and plug it into Kedushin as well. One can already see that there's another Pshat in the Gemara. You see a Pshat, like in this Taisvus, you know, Mechilas Kav, the Hilgi, and the Balei Taisvus. You see a statement of this Taisvus, you know that someone's going to disagree. You know that someone's going to say, wait a second, not so simple. If it's so important that there be shlichus here, it's so critical to shlichus here, so why didn't the Gemara say it? For the same money, the Gemara could have said, how shlichus the kaddish perform the shlich or something. So the Gemara left it out. There's reason for us to believe that it may not be so important, that the mina shlichus may not be so critical. What do you mean it's not critical? Doesn't the Gemara say beferish in Bamitziach Habeis that without many shlichos the game's over? Because Yush Lomidas, lo have a Yush. Doesn't the Gemara say that? So what is the Gemara in Kiddushin indicating? Again, unless you're willing to go down Tosas Ruin and stick a shlich in for good luck, then the sugya is over. Then it's not relevant. But if you're not convinced textually that that is correct, if you really believe that the Gemara left out the role of the shliach because it's not relevant, so then, but what happened? How could it not be relevant? Why isn't this posed the same problem of Yish Lomidas, not a Yish? That's the multi-million-dollar question. So hopefully from tomorrow, we have to see how the Rambam possibly solved that riddle, and it was the Rambam's potential solution to that riddle that gets the whole ball rolling. Because again, we may have succeeded, at least we almost see that we've succeeded in the textual analysis, but even if we're right in discovering that this Gemara Kedushin argues with Gemara Metzia, we still got a long way to go to figure out conceptually why it should be so. Hopefully, that's what the Bible will be.